John Mad Martin. There's a story that to paint rain, steam, and speed the Great Western Railway, Turner hung his head out of a train car window during a rainstorm to experience the speed. It's highly likely that story is more legend than fact, considering that during this time period it was quite common for most carriages in trains to have windows with no glass. So it really wouldn't matter if your head was out the window or not, you'd still be getting wet. But Turner had a contemporary that definitely did something like that, John Mad Martin. John Martin, always an inventor and engineer with a sense of adventure, stood on the front end footplate of a train that was doing a test run to prove that trains could go faster than horses and achieve speeds of faster than 50 miles per hour, about 80 kilometers an hour. Born a few years after Constable and Turner, about 8 years their junior, Martin is normally considered a Victorian painter with entertainment-level use of the romantic sublime. He, like Fuseli and West, painted huge paintings and lived off the sales of the print copies of those paintings. His paintings really were usually of epic proportions. Think sizes of 6 feet by 10 feet at any given time. Martin's nickname as John Mad Martin really didn't have a lot to do with him or his mental state. It wasn't really John who was mad. It was his younger brother, Jonathan. Yes, a John and a Jonathan in the same family. Their parents were not all that inventive when it comes to names, apparently. Jonathan suffered a few mental breakdowns and tried to burn down a church because the organ buzzed. Although, to tell the whole story, Jonathan had an ongoing dispute with that particular church's minister regarding doctrinal understandings, and after many letters and notes, Jonathan hid in the choir loft, removed all the Bibles from the building, and set fire to the hymnals. These kinds of actions are easy to poke fun of once history has moved on, and make for amusing jokes at Jonathan's expense, but Jonathan is a classic example of a manic depressive or bipolar arsonist. Unfortunately for his brother John, Jonathan's last public outburst would deplete John's funds and set the artist on a path of financial ruin for a time. Between the legal fees for his brother's trial and the repeated lack of success with his engineering inventions, the pursuit he loved the most, Martin's finances became quite strained at one point. Martin is one of those strange artists that doesn't follow the rules of fine art as we know them. Usually we think that artists are poor and unknown during their life and famous after their death. Martin was the opposite. Famous and sought out during his life, his work epitomized the sublime. However, after his death, the sublime fell so far out of fashion that it became a source of ridicule, and now he is largely forgotten by art history. Static in Search of the Waters of Oblivion from 1812 was shown at the Academy. Martin painted the painting in a month and got really worried when he overheard the framers' hangers trying to figure out which end was up. However, despite his early concern, it went over well and it sold at that very show. Sadak was a fictional character from a pseudo-Orientalist story, completely made up by James Ridley and published in 1764, about a man sent out on an impossible journey by a cruel sultan to obtain the waters of oblivion, which make the drinker forget everything they knew. The sultan wants to use these waters on Sadak's extremely beautiful wife so he can make her forget Sadak and seduce her for himself. He feels it's a win-win situation, really. If Sadak dies on the perilous journey, or if he obtains the water, either way, the sultan will be able to obtain Sadak's wife. However, Sadak goes through his journey with trouble after trouble. This depiction of him here, showing him just before he reaches the waters, and brings the water back. In the inevitable twist, the sultan somehow ends up the victim of the water, and Sadak becomes sultan himself. This story seems corny now, but the story was so popular at the time it was made into a play and into an opera as well.